This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Isn't it convenient that we have a round table?
Well, it's actually oval. Just say it.
The blind guy feels it now, goes, well, I guess it is oval.
Kind of oval.
And here we go again. First of all, off the top, I've got to say thank you to Brock and Ramya for hosting last week's round table. Nice outing. Good work.
It was only a week ago. It feels like forever ago. It was fun.
Is that because you miss it and want to do another one? Or was it, one of those things that you said, I'm glad that's
done. No, it was great. You helped us prep, which I told listeners about also, but you helped us prep for it, which was really helpful. And then it was just really fun with Brian and Carrie out here.
Fantastic. And you guys sounded like you had fun. Lots of good stuff to carry on a little bit about and help a lot of us understand some things, too, as you guys talked about vaccination and things like that. We do this every week on the program, and sometimes I bring a bunch of things out to talk about. Other times we stick a little bit more to one or two subjects. It's an open conversation on a variety of subjects picked by myself. Today we welcome in Laura Bain. Nice to have her back with us on the round table. She's our TV reporter out of Halifax. Laura, you hanging in out there?
I am, yes, hanging in. Hi, guys. How's it going?
It's been hey, good. Laura. Show's been excellent. Let's put it on the table here. We were so shocked over what's been going on out that way because you guys have been tremendously, I don't want to say lucky. I think prudent and everything has slid the right way over the last year and a bit dealing with COVID, but right now quite a shakeup going on out there, especially in the Halifax area.
Yeah, that's right. When you look at our test positivity rate, yesterday it was 1.5%, which is significantly lower than I think you guys are there in Toronto. But it's shocking for us here because, as you say, we just haven't had that. We actually sadly had two deaths yesterday or the day before. We have 182 cases today. It's a new daily record. So it really is something we just haven't had that here. And we have brought in pretty strict lockdown measures. I can only speak for myself that we had this big backlog over the weekend where we had a bunch of tests they had to get through. So I think everyone was really just hoping that once they cleared that backlog, that the numbers would be coming down yesterday and today, but we haven't seen that yet. Hopefully in the next few days, because we've had the lockdown in place for 2 weeks now, we'll start seeing those numbers coming down.
I think we're 7 or 8 is what ours is. I heard last out Alberta, which is at the moment the worst in North America, at 12. The positivity rate, it's really frightening. I kind of wonder, Rumi and I can sit back and say, wow, what we've gone through since last April, March, when lockdowns and things like that started to happen. But for you guys, a year and a bit later, this is like, wow. And, you know, we can sit here and say, oh, yeah, well, it's old hat for us. You guys mm-hmm. look and say, well, good heavens, what are we doing? What's happening here? That's got to be really strange, too, because it's not been something that's been, sure, it's been front and center, COVID itself. We're not going to suggest for a moment you guys have no clue of it. But mm-hmm. what you're going through is so shocking, sudden, and new, and trying to get ahead of it.
Sort of. I mean, I think part of the reason that we have been so successful here is because we did implement lockdown measures early on. So last year, you know, even though our cases were relatively low, we did kind of have, you know, pretty strict measures here.
Yeah, so you got ahead of it.
And when we've had those little spikes, I think our government has been pretty good here in terms of implementing those restrictions. So we actually had our masking laws here before you guys did in Ontario. So yes, it is a bit surreal. It is a bit strange. I don't think any of us were expecting it, at this stage of things. But I think partly, you know, it's been because we've sort of had periods of restrictions throughout the year. But we've had relative freedom, you know, prior to this most recent, we've had restaurants open and things like that. So
yeah. Yeah, well, good luck out there. Just stay safe. And I want to open up the roundtable, and we'll come back to something I want to talk to you particularly about, because Rumya and I are filled with questions. But anyone want to give their regards to Broadway? Because there's a chance that you can do that much sooner than you might have thought. Take a listen to this.
The lights of the Great White Way will soon be lit again. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo saying the curtains can go up on Broadway productions September 14th. And Cuomo says each theater can decide their own entry requirements, like whether or not people must have proof of vaccines. Cuomo says the key to success is having as many people as possible get those shots.
If you said to people, we're 100% vaccinated, don't worry about the person to the right, don't worry about the person to the left, it's 100% vaccinated, I think it would be a safer environment.
Tickets will go on sale in the coming days, giving productions a way to gauge how many are interested in going to the theaters once they do reopen in the fall. I'm Oscar Wells Gabriel.
My assistant company director of Out of Sight, my theater troupe that I've run for a number of years, we've had this conversation. How comfortable would we be to be doing theater at this time? Rumi, I'm going to start with you just to ask you right off the bat, how comfortable would you be to sit shoulder to shoulder like he described if you felt the theater had put in, you can see our show if you're vaccinated?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I hear him. I heard you, Oscar, but you know what? Honestly, and it's probably because we're just not there yet at all. Like in Ontario, we're just not even remotely close to that. Like some of us are still waiting for our first vaccination, right? And some of us are still concerned about the vaccinations period. So for me, I can't imagine that I would just walk into a Broadway show and move along this aisle of people sitting there and really like be touching knees with people or shoulder to shoulder, as you said, and sit there and not be and even a tad concerned or just feel a bit nervous. I don't think that that's going to be as easy as it seems just because they're putting it out there for people. Now, that may not reflect on the actual amount of people who come out, but it is in my head.
Mm-hmm. My head as a person who's been involved in theater, watched, been in plays, but did a lot of stuff in small spaces as part of community theater. I think about an audience being in there, and we joke a lot being, you know, so close to the audience and poor people in the front rows, you know, have to put up with our breath and spit. You kind of laugh that all off, but then you start getting alarmed when you see and think about the return to doing that and how soon, yet your heart goes out for wanting to do these things. Laura, you guys have had a different situation as we were talking about. You yourself, and when you came on the show a while back, we had the discussion about you and getting a chance to do theater. First of all, I want to just deal with, did this be a concern on the level of safety or more, boy, I hope nothing happens that we lose the run of our play? Can we get your feelings there?
Yeah, it definitely hits a bit close to home, this story, for sure. As you mentioned, I actually was away from my reporting role for about 5 weeks because I was doing professional theater, my first time doing that. And so we had 4 weeks of rehearsals, and then the lockdown measures came into effect on opening night. So we were sort of getting ready to head into the theater. So kind of when the shows were being planned, and it's not that things have been open here. So live theater has not been going ahead in Nova Scotia for the last year. So this was actually going to be one of the first kind of live in-person performances that we'd had in Nova Scotia. And we had all kinds of COVID measures in place. So people ordered their tickets with their bubble. You were sitting 6 feet apart from other bubbles and, you know, things like that. The audience had to be wearing masks.
Right.
Us as actors had to be so far away from them, which presented a bit of a challenge in the small theater space that we were in. But we had a like a runner, and we as actors kind of had to do everything on that runner because we could not step past it because that would be getting too close to the audience. So, you know,
and you guys were bubbled yourselves, right?
Yeah. So the cast was bubbled because you're not obviously wearing masks when you're on stage and when you're rehearsing. And people were getting regular COVID tests, but at that point we had no community spread. So the level of concern, just, we did have all these COVID protocols in place. But, you know, we were talking just low single digit daily case numbers. And then kind of leading up to opening night, we saw those case numbers going up quite dramatically, you know, kind of into the 20s and 30s. And we were all sort of wondering, you know, what was going to happen and asking those questions. Is it safe to move forward and that sort of thing? Because the last thing that you want is a super spreader event. And certainly I think none of us would feel, even if the restrictions were not in place, none of us would feel comfortable moving forward with it, given the community spread we have here. And as I say, our test positivity rate is much lower than it is in somewhere like New York. So I just can't imagine feeling comfortable moving forward with it either as an actor or an audience member. Although, you know, certainly it might depend on, you know, what kind of safety protocols they had in place. And if it was something like everybody had to be fully vaccinated, everybody was sitting 6 feet apart, that kind of thing.
Now, the questions that everybody's waiting for. I had a chance to see the play. You guys were so comfortable in doing what your individual roles were, enjoying thoroughly the script, which meant us as an audience enjoyed it thoroughly. Is that what I felt watching that, the way it came off your first experience doing this? Give us that raw feeling of what you felt then, during, and after.
Oh, it was amazing. And yeah, I mean, what you saw, that was our dress rehearsal video, because we had planned to do a virtual performance that was actually sort of intended for an audience viewing, but those restrictions just came into place so hard and fast. You know, everything was open the day before, and then the next day it was just basically total lockdown. So we as a cast weren't even able to get together to film that video. So I can't say I really had the stage performance experience, because the dress rehearsal, it was an invited dress. There was, and because the case numbers had started to rise, many people that were invited to the dress rehearsal didn't show up. So it was a pretty small audience, but, it was still a pretty amazing experience. And I feel that it was only going to get better. I was very excited for opening night and what that feeling would be like. I feel like I got just a little taste of it. But
what,
yeah,
a
certainly.
Tease. Oh boy.
I really, like, there's just so much I could say. You know, I wasn't a bundle of nerves. I really wasn't going out for the dress rehearsal. I felt, of course, a little nervous, but I just felt excited. And yeah, the 4 weeks of rehearsal were amazing. It was challenging, probably one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. It was all new to me. And it was also a fairly complicated set. It wasn't just like a few pieces of furniture on a flat, like sort of two-dimensional set. It was multi-level scaffolding. And I think there were 26 scenes in the play and stuff. I had two costume changes. So it was,
wow.
It was fairly involved.
Isn't that something, Rum? And you feel that whole, we're about to go, hold on, sorry. That in itself, such a unique experience. And part of that first time, what's it left you with, Laura, in the sense of, okay, even if you'd done the run, let me put it this way, I know you'd still be chomping at the bit to do something else.
Yeah, it's definitely, I feel like I hadn't really considered acting prior to this so much. And it's definitely kind of bitten me with the theater bug. I mean, I was so fortunate to be cast in this role as an inexperienced actor, as a non-actor. And I was, the rest of the cast were veteran actors, you know, in some cases people who had been doing it for decades. And I was very fortunate in that, rather than having the attitude of like, who is this person who's been cast in this role who has no theater experience? It was just the opposite. Everyone was so supportive. Kind of like having, you know, seven mentors from the rest of the cast, because there were eight of us in the cast. I feel like it was definitely a huge growth experience and very surreal to have this huge build, and there's so much emotions. You know, I'm not going to lie, there were definitely tears on the day of the dress rehearsal. There's so much going on. I know you know that from Kelly from theater, and doing it when you're blind or partially sighted is a whole other thing. There's a real extra level, I think, of vulnerability there when the rest of the cast is non-disabled and you're sort of, you know, playing this part. And to then have that build and then just sudden lockdown. And not only that, but just personally, I mean, I live alone. And we are now reduced to household bubbles in Halifax. So you're only allowed to socialize with the people you live with, which for me is no one. So to go from seeing the cast and the directing team, you know, 12 or 13 of us kind of every day together all day, to just being alone in my apartment, it's very surreal.
Rumi, it's a lot of trust, right? When you do performance with the people working with you.
Oh,
Absolutely. I mean, like what you're talking about, Lori, it's really taking me personally, at least, back to days when we could have performances and as audience members or otherwise, because there's this energy you're talking about when people come in that you didn't really get to experience because it was a smaller crowd during the dress rehearsal. But prior to that, you're building this team. And I think your words exactly were like, I Googled how to act. You know, you went from that space and mindset to being part of this and completely embracing it and for all it was. So you build up this process and every day you're learning and then you're put in this position. You're like, okay, it's happening. It's really happening. You're no longer this non-actor. And you definitely, Kels, that trust you're talking about, you're building that team. But then to have to kind of put a pause and a break on it so suddenly, it must have been taken you back so much. But I feel for you. Like, I honestly do. But I think that there's a lot to take away from all of it as well, as you've been pointing out.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I gained a lot from the experience, regardless of whether the play is able to be resurrected, you know, once the restrictions open or not, which hopefully it will. But I know for me, you know, I always felt very uncomfortable in those spaces. It's not that I wasn't interested in performing arts. It's just that as someone who's been legally blind since birth and night blind and that sort of thing, whenever we would have school concerts and school plays and even like school dances and stuff, those kind of environments were always just so tricky for me. And I think it sort of kept me away from things like that. And I felt like really this was, I sort of had to get past a lot of that in this. I sort of had to get past those moments of feeling uncomfortable or like maybe I don't belong here or, oh my goodness, I'm going to trip and fall and everybody's going to see it or, you know, sort of feeling.
And everybody has their own struggle with when it comes to theater. I've very much learned that everybody has an insecurity. It humbles us because each time everything you're involved with is a different, you hope, a new experience, even no matter how many times you've acted or done sound or done lighting, there's always some new challenge. But we very much say, well, geez, do I even belong here? Am I bringing it? Is the, you know, you especially when you're asked to do more or asked to do something different, our hardest critic, us in ourselves, really challenges us, Laura.
Oh, I definitely learned that I am much harder on myself than usually whenever we would finish a stumble through or a run or whatever, the director would come up to me and I would say, I know I missed this line and I did this wrong. And he's like, it was great. Like I didn't have any notes or whatever, or, you know, he might just have some notes, but definitely by far much harder on myself than anyone else would be.
Glad to have you back in the fold. We're looking to hang out with you at AMI Connect on the 3rd of June. Otherwise, enjoy. Please be safe out there. And thanks for joining us as usual on the roundtable.
Oh, sure. Thanks, guys.
Laura Bain, our TV reporter out of Halifax for AMI TV, joining us for the weekly roundtable. We do this every Thursday on the program and get into a variety of subjects and really appreciate her time and openness. Very open, great conversation. We'll take a break. You'll see what's coming up tomorrow on Now with Dave Brown and our show.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.